You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, guys? Welcome back.
Fucking Andy. Fucking Andy.
Welcome back to the Kind of Funny Games cast. As always, I'm Tim Geddes, joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Undressed is an American anthology series that aired on MTV from July 26, 1999 to September 5, 2002. The series was created and executive produced by British director Roland Jaffe.
It's Blessing, a fantastic show.
Blessing, if it's late at night and there was nothing on Cinemax or HBO, you could crank one out easily to Undress.
Yeah. Yeah. I might give it a watch, you know? 2002 wasn't that long ago. I'm sure it still holds up.
Whew. We also have the former informer, Imran Khan.
I remember, like, in MTV's Otter Days, that show that had, like, the head on it, that cartoon. It doesn't hold up today, I bet, but that show was awesome of the day.
Otter Days?
Oddities.
Oh, Oddities. Yeah. Yes. I know what you're talking about.
Like, it had the head first, then the head finished, and they started playing the Max, like, the comic book character. Way too, like, obscure for most people, but it was cool at the time.
But it's Three
South,
jam,
really good Imran's too. Three South is really good, too.
We also have the Nitro Rifle himself, Andy Cortez.
Tim, we've had a day, huh? We've had a day.
We have had a day.
I've eaten 8 goldfish crackers. Man. That's 9 right there, number 9.
Me and Imran have been on camera together since 10 a.m. And so we're in hour 4. 3.
Converting for German.
This is the Kind of Funny Games cast each and every week right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. We get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. You can get the show ad-free by going to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames or watch it later on YouTube. You can watch it later on roosterteeth.com or you can listen to it on your favorite podcast service. Just search for Kind of Funny Games cast, and we're going to be right there for you. Shout out to our Patreon producers, Muhammad Mohammed, Julian, the gluten-free gamer, Skin Tight Salmon, Jeffrey P. Long, Sancho West, and James Hastings. Thank you all for making this show happen. We got a special show today. We're actually doing our post-show analysis of Gamescom Opening Night Live, aka the season finale of Summer Game Fest, which, let's just start there, guys. This was the season finale of Summer Game Fest. We technically never got out of phase one of Summer Game Fest, if I am correct. What do you think that means?
I'm exhausted.
That's pretty much it. Like, there's been too many shows, and none of them are all that notable, and only some of them are tangentially connected to Jeff Keighley. So it's to call it season finale is like, presumably, a season finale, you pull in all the threads from all the other stuff in the season, which you kind of did. Like, there's a crash thing and there's some other stuff, but.
Like, of course.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't know. This. I expected to be wowed a little bit just by that name, just by the.
We got wow.
We got World of Warcraft. I did not be wowed. I was not wowed by this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think to Tim's question of like, what does phase one mean? And what does this mean as the series finale, right? Like, the phase one graphics was tweeted out by Jeff with, like, not enough context. I don't even know if Jeff knew what the context was of phase one, because I think when he tweeted that and when he was first rolling out Summer Game Fest or Summer of Gaming, I forget which one we're in.
Summer Game Fest. Summer of Gaming Game with IGN.
This is IGN, okay. I think there was the idea that was kind of a rallying call for all the different publishers and all the different companies to be on that one calendar and be able to point back to, hey, yeah, this is, we're all part of Jeff Keighley's thing, meaning we are all falling in accordance with organization and how that stuff looks like in terms of the rollout. But I feel like there wasn't enough of a committal as there needed to be for this to be a nice organized thing. And so I think that's why we never got a phase two graphic. I think that's why this, as the season finale, kind of felt not disconnected, because I think as an event it was fine, but it didn't really as a season finale, this didn't have that moment where it was like, oh shoot, yeah, everything really wrapped up here. Because, you know, we know we have more stuff. We know there's Ubisoft Forward. We know there's more Xbox stuff. We know there's more PlayStation stuff. Like, it feels like it's still ever long going, despite this being in quote-unquote season finale.
But I think all that stuff, though, isn't necessarily part of the Summer Game Fest, right? Like, some of them were, right. But some of them explicitly weren't. Like, the Nintendo stuff's not.
I guess Ubisoft just didn't associate with it at all, did they?
But the problem that I have with it is that whenever there was an event happening, Summer Game Fest would tweet out about it. And so I never knew whether it was like an official thing or the Summer Game Fest Twitter account just saying, hey, what'd you think of, you know, the new Assassin's Creed trailer or whatever. And so I whenever I would see those tweets, I'd go, oh, I guess that was like a Jeff Keighley thing. I guess that was like one of his kind of, little events or whatever. But I don't know. I think just the messaging has been so all over the place that, you know, you just kind of hope that we're getting new games and kind of forget about what the official rollout plan is.
Yeah. I think part of it is that, like, Jeff Keighley clearly expected Summer Games Fest to be the replacement for E3. And he thought things that were supposed to be at E3 probably would have, like, should have been there. But I think most companies just went, like, nah, fuck it. Let's just do our own thing or just not do it at all because COVID. So, like, Fandom is a good example of, I bet you those things were, we know those are supposed to be part of the E3 conference. Yeah.
Or Comic-Con or E3, yeah.
Yeah, and they weren't. So, like, theoretically, they would have been part of Gamescom or something, but it was just like, no, DC said they're going to just do their own fandom and just show them the stuff themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because we've talked a lot on Games Daily and stuff. Like, I love Summer Game Fest as an idea, and I love Jeff being the leader of it because he's proven, if he's proven anything over the last decade, it's that he knows how to put on an event, and he also knows how to take feedback and criticism and apply it to the next show that he does, where every Game Awards has been better than the last. And like the things we bitch about are tightened up just a little bit more the next time. And I think that as an idea, Summer Game Fest really could have worked with him kind of as the maestro of it all, like the one guy that kind of like is making sure people aren't stepping on each other's toes. But it just seems like everyone got a little overzealous and didn't want to play nice. Like, we saw it early on with the IGN Summer of Gaming, which if that from beginning worked with Summer Game Fest, I think it would have been a lot clearer. But instead, they felt like two separate things that were competing for attention and for competing for debuts or exclusives or updates on games. And then it kind of just led it to where we're at now. And every Summer Game Fest specific exclusive thing that they did spoke to me. With Crash 4, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater, the things that were explicitly branded that way, I was all about.
The DualSense controller thing.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. For this to be the season finale of all of it, and for this to be the most entirely in control by Jeff Keighley with the Summer Game Fest branding stuff, that is not just focused on one title, but is actually kind of showing something from everyone, I am extremely let down. Like, this was probably one of my least favorite events, and I think it's because of the spectacle that was presented to us. Like, the set was fucking awesome, and the way that they were doing the show definitely had a lot of potential, but the things that they showed, and no matter how they set our expectations, which they did for this one going into it, they're like, here are the games that are going to be here, you're just going to get some updates, there's going to be some surprises, but, you know, don't expect too much, somehow still was like, all right, then why did you put that much into this then?
Do you feel like they kind of ruined it a little bit, though? Because I feel like if we didn't know going into this that we were going to get Ratchet & Clank and Fall Guys Season 2 and quite a few of the other things that were some of the big hitters, I feel like some of the stuff could have hit harder. But because going in, like, Ratchet & Clank and Fall Guys were the two things they kept referencing over and over again to keep us in, that kind of took away some of the luster.
I don't know. I don't think so, because especially with what we got from both of those, like, I think having them in the show, like, the show wasn't horrible, you know, and I think having those means that it's not horrible. The Fall Guys stuff was interesting, and I think that they kind of gave us exactly what they needed to do, which is just a tease of the future of this game that we're all addicted to right now. Could that have just been a tweet? Totally. But it being in this kind of made this kind of feel a little bit bigger. We were excited to see that. The Ratchet and Clank stuff is weird, because, like, we're already sold in this game, and pretty much they're like, this is the game everyone's talking about being next gen. And then they kind of just showed us a slightly longer version of what we saw at the PlayStation event.
It's as if like this felt like a reactionary thing to something that didn't need a reactionary sort of feel for, where like I could understand if maybe the last time they showed Ratchet, a lot of the crowd hated it. And a lot of the audience is like, ah, what the fuck is, what are they doing with this? This looks, and then they're like, no, 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 we'll show you like an extended thing at the Gamescom event. Like they showed us more of a thing that we were already kind of stoked for, but it wasn't really any, there wasn't a whole lot of new there. I just feel like this whole thing, like the event being 2 hours, the event being 2 hours would have made a lot more sense had we not had 4 months of a bunch of events already. Yeah. You know, like if we had, if we didn't have all these other cool games and cool shit being announced over this whole 4 months or whatever, 5 months, however long it's been, they could have squeezed some of those cooler announcements into here. But I just feel like they, I feel like it was stretched too thin. And also, it's about an hour longer than what it should have been. You know? Yeah,
this feels like it happened almost because it needed to happen. Like, if this event didn't happen, I don't feel like we would have lost much, because the bigger announcements from here could have happened in other presentations, could have happened as one-off tweets. But like looking back, I was taking notes during the event of what we saw, right? And like, you know, Unknown 9 Awakening, Doom Eternal DLC, Dragon Age, some game in-game footage, not necessarily gameplay, you know, WoW Shadowlands, Crash 4, and now I'm going to scroll down to like a little bit more of the exciting things, right? Medal of Honor VR. 12 minutes was probably one of the big standout things there.
But even like the announcement of that, 12 minutes was cool looking, but it's the 12 minutes footage. Like, it's not the exact footage, but it's basically what we've seen before. It was them saying Willem Dafoe and Daisy Ridley. And who was the last
James
one?
James McAvoy.
Which is huge. I mean,
that's huge.
That's the thing is, like, when we look at these announcements, we really have to break it down of like, not just like, oh, was the game here? You need to ask what was shown about the game. Like, what is the actual announcement that is here? And I think that for that game on this level of a stage is huge.
It's awesome.
Because that game we've seen now many times at different events over the years. But like now it's like, oh shit, all of a sudden there is a new level of eyes on it.
Yeah, and that game individually is handling their promotions super well in a way where one of the bigger problems I think we've seen with Summer Game Fest is the fact that there is no communication or like good planning across the board as far as how individual developers and individual publishers are handing out promo material of their game to these different folks. And so like 12 minutes, right, we saw their big reveal at Xbox's E3, I want to say last year, and that got us all hyped and excited because that looked like something that was hype and exciting. And today when we saw it, like I feel like that game has been not necessarily missing, but like they've not necessarily been talking about it too much over the last year. And now we see it again. We still had that feeling of, oh yeah, I remember 12 minutes. That thing looked awesome. And then you do get the, here's James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe. And that knocks us away, as opposed to something like Godfall, which we've seen a billion times. And that game showed up here for like what, a 10-second trailer that was showing off the cosmetic thing that like not really anybody cares about because we don't have a connection to Godfall like that.
We don't have a like, context for the game yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I'm looking forward to Godfall, and even I was like, I don't give a fuck about the thing they just showed me because I haven't played the game.
They can't find a good ratio for that game. Like they either show way too much or way too little, and like none of it satisfying.
It would have made sense if like, you know, we finished the Godfall campaign and we loved it, and then it's like, hey everybody, this moth fucking butterfly thing cosmetic, I don't know what it was, but it was like sort of an insect looking thing. They're like, oh, it's available in the game. Oh, holy shit, I never thought we'd be able to use this character, but they showed this cosmetic for a game we don't know it really anything about, and nobody's played it because it's not out. I don't know. It's just,
and
it's so much of it felt really muddy and forced.
A game that we've seen like seven different times, and each time has never felt just right as far as them showing off the game and them getting us excited about it. I feel like that kind of reverberates through a lot of these different announcements, where some of them, you know, we're awesome, right? Like seeing more Crash stuff is exciting.
No, it's
like
not.
If you're into Crash,
it's not. I'm super into Crash, and like that's a perfect example to me of like, okay, what? Why was Crash 4 shown at this at the Sony State of Play event we just saw it at for like the, you know, there was the reveal event Summer Game Fest. Cool, they're revealing the game. That's exciting. Then we saw it again at State of Play, and it's like, oh, there's these fun retro like gimmicky things that can happen to the levels where it like looks like different paint styles or like Photoshop filters and all that stuff. And then they talked a bit more about the different challenge modes and stuff, and I was like, oh yeah, cool, that's great. For this, it's like, oh, hey, there's a flashback mode. It's like you're getting so nitty gritty into stuff where it's like, we know this game's coming. Like game, we saw what, 3 minutes in this of Crash 4? Totally unnecessary when you really ask the question, but why is it being shown? And I hate when the answer is, it's just an advertisement.
It reminds me of the video game expo, like you're referencing, blessing the Joel McHale days. Like that show where like Reggie and Retro Studios came and they're like going to show off a new thing. And it was like, oh, here's Cranky in Donkey Kong Country. Granted, that game was amazing. That is one of the best 2D platforms of all time. That was still a bad showing because like, oh, you came to the show just to show Cranky Kong? And that's kind of what I got from here is like, okay, cool. I'm still going to buy Crash. I'm so excited for it. But this is a weird like non-announcement.
Yes. Yeah. It felt weirdly planned in a lot of ways. And in a lot of ways that very much made it feel like, oh, y'all are just getting shit together just to get shit together. You know, this doesn't feel like it has much purpose, right? And I think that threw off a lot of the pacing. That threw off like a lot of the flow of the announcements. When we got to Surgeon Simulator 2 and they opened it with the Back to the Future stuff and got us hyped for a Back to the Future game and then transitioned to, oh, wait, no, this is Surgeon Simulator 2. It's like, what the fuck is going on here? What are you guys doing?
What a gut punch that was. Like, not even, like, even if it was a good Back to the Future game, I'd be a little suspicious of it. But the fact that they started with the music and with, like, the tire tracks, like, yeah. And then it showed Doc Brown. I was like, okay, cool. It's like if you had, like, at the Game Awards, you had Vin Diesel in totally forgotten names.
Michelle Rodriguez.
Come out and they announced like, Game I don't know, 2020. Gundam Extreme Versus 2 or whatever. Yeah. Like that is the thing they're bringing out. Like I understand why, because Jeff Keighley, he's a nice guy, very much a star fucker, very much likes the celebrity.
There's nothing wrong with star.
No, man. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all. I say you need that sort of thing to get the numbers he does, but I bet he was like, oh, we getting Christopher Lloyd on here? Can he wear the Back to the Future stuff? Cool. We'll find our announcement to make him work with it. That's it.
Yeah.
And like that, those, I understand why he did that. I understand that does get numbers. But boy, is it disappointing when you want, if you're a Back to the Future fan, that whole thing must have been a roller coaster ride that never went back up.
Yeah. That's rough. Go for it, Andy.
I think this is just, I think it's hard to put on a show like this, especially with how big and kind of huge last year's was.
But it wasn't.
And so
that was the Death Stranding reveal. That's all.
But it was still like on a big stage in front of a lot of
Erica.
People, and it still felt like
Erica.
It still felt like a bigger deal than this was or whatever. Yeah. I think it's just because the game shown or whatever. And I'm sure that I wonder if the thought ever was there of should we even do this because we have all these other events happening right now? Should we even do this? I think one of the key things that shows me that this is an event for the sake of having an event was when Teardown was shown, and Teardown looks great, but yep. Keighley introduced and said, I love the way it looked, and I asked the developer to put together a trailer for this. And to me, that's just like, it just seems like you're reaching for other titles. Now, granted, again, the game looks great. I'm not taking away from the game, but when you're reaching out to developers saying like, can you put something together? Because this would be awesome to be on this show. It feels like you're really stretching yourself thin.
Yeah. And it's hard to, I'm looking at this list of games right now that I wrote down as we're doing this, and it feels very Opening Night Live 1.0, which we saw last year, that I remember when they did it, I was so excited about the premise. And I hate that once again, we're a year later and I'm still just excited about the premise. Like I like Gamescom having this one kind of press conference type thing event that we could actually watch and get excited about Gamescom in a way that previously we would only get excited about for either E3 or publisher specific events, right? Like Gamescom all of a sudden now has a home for announcements on a stage. On top of that, Jeff Keighley is really the only person that has created a venue for PlayStation, Nintendo, and Xbox to potentially all be on the same stage announcing games at once, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a fun to that, and we're just lacking that. Like we're just not really seeing the full potential of that right now, which is really kind of upsetting in a year that is launching two new pieces of hardware, right?
Which is kind of like, that's the problem, is that Sony and Microsoft are still playing chicken on everything, price, release date, even software. So I'm shocked they let Ratchet come in there, but for the most part, in a situation where both consoles had their E3 or E3 equivalent shows like in the summer, this Gamescom probably would have been a lot bigger because this would have been the follow-up. This would have been the time to show, like, okay, yeah, we showed you some Horizon footage or some Horizon targeted gameplay. Let's, like, look at what the game would look like actually running, or Demon's Souls or something like that. Or maybe Microsoft would have shown Halo Infinite or, you know, things along that line. But because it's been such a weird console launch, it's been such a weird summer, been such a weird year, obviously this kind of, the stuff that was supposed to be the trickle down doesn't get the trickle it needed.
I mean, we haven't played these things yet, right? Like, that's the craziest thing, that if E3 had happened, like, all four of us would have had our hands on.
Yeah, like Star Wars Squadrons.
Well, I mean, definitely those games, but I'm talking about even for next-gen games. Like, we would have played PS5. We would have played Series X. So it's, like, it's interesting now, like, looking at this list of games where there is the things that you'd expect to be there, like, some of the smaller titles or, like, weirder things like Sam and Max VR and things like that. But we did get a couple exciting things. Star Wars Squadrons, like, we're all already sold on it, but it was cool seeing it again. Like, I do think that was one where it's like, all right, like, they're selling this game a little bit harder. But then the big one for me was Lego Star Wars, where I got to see the first showing of that at last E3, and I was blown away, where I was like, this looks very different gameplay-wise from the old Lego games. Like, they're taking this seriously. And it was surprising that the game's still not out now from when we first saw it. And this is the first time that, like, the public is seeing this game, right? And now it's still spring 2021. But the game looks awesome.
Yeah. And it got delayed. Like, I think it was supposed to come out this year. Or at least I was convinced because I got it for my PlayStation Fantasy Draft for PS Love You. And yeah, like, that game looks great. I feel like the two major times we've seen this game now at a presentation, like, it's blown me away both times. Like, I'm really looking forward to that. And that is a great get, you know, for opening out live.
Yeah. What Andy, what got you most excited from this whole thing?
I'd say 12 minutes. The 12 minutes reveal was pretty damn great. I'm just excited by smaller titles that kind of come out of nowhere. And obviously 12 minutes has not come out of nowhere. We've known about it for a while, but the fact that it kind of keeps on getting more and more impressive. And I don't know, that the premise of that whole game just really excites me. I'd say just watching more Ratchet and Clank and how beautiful that game's going to be and how gorgeous it is and taking full advantage of the tech. I'm trying to think of what other games. I wish I did. You got a list you could share me on?
There's that Lemnis Gate game Lemnis they showed, Gate. Which was the... Yeah,
that thing we thought was a Steam game that's already out, but isn't.
And yeah, like the other time loop game that might be multiplayer, but we can't tell because I don't know if they really sold it that well. But it looked cool. Like, the trailer got me into it because I was like, this looks really fun with the time loop mechanic and the way they're talking about it.
Oh, Lemnis Gate
is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's what Tim wrote down at least.
Yeah, you know what, guys? Let's actually just go through the show from the top and kind of just give our thoughts on everything. So, starting it off with Call of Duty Cold War, does do anything for anyone?
It does for me. I'll play the campaign. I really, really enjoyed the Modern Warfare campaign that came out a year ago or 2 years ago. How long? I don't know. What time is so crazy now, dude.
What was the last? Was the last one World War II or was it?
No, it was Modern Warfare. Modern Warfare.
Yeah. And then the year before that was Black Ops 4. And then the year before that was World War II, I think.
Modern Warfare was a fun campaign. I think a lot of people just kind of assume that a lot of the Modern Warfare campaigns are just going to be phoned in and quick and easy and not really fully thought out and fleshed out. But I had a blast with it. I thought it was really damn good. And it's a quick kind of 8 to 10 hour campaign that you can get through. So I'm stoked for Cold War. I was a part of the event. I got to see a lot of the sort of campaign details about it, and it looks super fucking cool. I mean, I think it's really interesting. So I'm down for that.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm totally down for it. I think the fact that Call of Duty did the reveal themselves already, like this last week, kind of took the steam out of this one for me.
Sure.
As far as like, because when when Jeff Keighley talked about Call of Duty being at Open Night Live, I think it was earlier in the week where I was like, oh cool, like they're gonna get the exclusive reveal for Call of Duty. And then when I realized that Call of Duty was doing their own thing, I was just like, oh, so what, we're just gonna see this the same trailer again? And I think this is a newer trailer, but
there's a level what we've that, already seen. There's a level that Gene Park wrote about, Gene Park from
Washington Post.
Yeah, he did a sort of a deep dive on the same event that I was at, the online event where you infiltrate a Russian facility, and the Russians have essentially recreated like small town, any town USA kind of thing, where they built out kind of an American city, like a little arcade, and there's city streets and fake buildings and stuff. But there's a level that takes place in there, which looks super awesome visually, and just the whole vibe of kind of walking through this fake America that's kind of built a little city block is really cool. I thought they were going to show that here because Jeff was like, we got some exclusive stuff. So I thought that was going to be shown. Unfortunately, it wasn't. But yeah, that game, I'm super stoked for it.
What was the thing they showed here?
They showed the Reagan trailer.
Yeah, just the new trailer. And I'm surprised you didn't get it.
Okay.
They said they're showing multiplayer in like a week or two, but I'm surprised that like
September 8th.
I guess that falls in line with how they do Call of Duty, because they don't show off the campaign and game in the multiplayer at the same time usually. But it's August, and so I figured that maybe they would this time around. But who knows?
Yeah.
So then we got Unknown 9.
Right. That game with the CG trailer of the girl.
Yeah, and the CG trailer looked cool, but it was confusing to me whether the game was called Unknown 9 Awakening or just Unknown 9. And then it ended and it just said Unknown 9. And then there's just a whole bunch of other characters on this splash screen that didn't look like the girl we saw in the trailer.
That was not
all.
The girl.
I feel like it's an R or something. Like,
yeah, she's got to be grown up probably in that photo. Because I feel like she was a child in what we saw. And then they showed a bunch of teen kind of adults, like low, you know, mid 20s or something. So I assumed that she was one of the girls that we saw. Maybe not.
She put one of the bricks, like took out a brick, put something in, put the brick back, right? Then she goes, gets beaten up. And then later we see that like there's a bunch of like plants that have grown around the brick and somebody goes to take it out. I assume that was her when she was an adult.
Exactly, Kevin. That's the same vibe I got.
I'm looking at a Push Square article, and the article is just called "Who Knows What Unknown 9 Awakening on PS5 Could Be About," and the whole article is just about how we don't know what the game is about, but there is a YouTube description that is pretty much just an SEO post, but there's a YouTube description that reads, "Raised on the streets of Kolkata, India, and haunted by visions of her own death, Haruna struggles to understand her mysterious innate abilities to manipulate the unseen. A mentor soon helps Haruna hone her gifts, teases her to access the mysterious hidden dimension known as the Fold, and propels her on a journey to unlock the mysteries of this new realm." And so, there you go.
But does it say, cool. Is it like a side-scroller? Is it an adventure game?
It's got to be a third-person adventure
game.
You
play as Haruna.
Haruna Matata.
It's a Haruna adventure game.
Then we got a little Doom Eternal, our first look at the campaign DLC, The Ancient Gods Part 1. Going through all this, you guys, all three of you, reviewed Doom Eternal here on Kind of Funny Games.
It was the first thing we put out, I think, in quarantine. And we didn't even have video.
Man, yeah. That's crazy.
That was when we were using the fucking application.
Yeah.
web app.
But yeah, I mean, you guys were pretty high on the game, like not as high as you maybe wanted to have been, but like you were stoked about it. Hearing you guys react to this was very disheartening. Sounds like no one really gives a shit.
I think Blessing, he put it best when he was like, I played a lot of Doom Eternal. I don't know that I want to play a harder Doom Eternal. And that's kind of where I am too. It was like, that campaign was really good. I don't know that I want to go back there and just, you know, push at a much harder thing, even if it is like more of a thing I like.
I totally agree. No, I was going to say, I totally agree. I enjoyed the game. If this were Doom Eternal 2, I'd probably be more willing to get back to it. But the fact that it's added DLC to a game that I really enjoyed, granted, but I just don't feel the need to play Doom again. I don't know.
Yeah, if I had a big critique with Doom Eternal, it would probably be that the game got just super hard at a certain point toward the latter half. And with this being DLC that is following up on the events of that game, like I don't know if I want to, like Imran said, right, push harder on a thing, you know, that doesn't sound too fun to me. Plus, like the story and stuff there in Doom Eternal isn't necessarily what speaks to me either. And so for the fact that this is like more narrative DLC, I'm like, all right, cool. I don't really care about the world anyway.
Yeah, Alana and Lawrence will love this because they love the lore in Doom. I just don't. I was the type that read a couple of the little letters, listened to a couple of the audio. I don't even know if they're audio tapes, honestly. But I did some of the extra reading, and then I said, oh, okay, let me just finish this game. And then 8 hours went by. I was like, all right, I'm almost done with the game. And then 12 hours went by. I was like, all right, we're getting close.
So we got the Surgeon Simulator stuff as well. Yeah. That we talked about
Dragon Age 4.
Yeah. But the Surgeon Simulator thing was like, all right, cool. That was weird. It was just distracting more than anything, right?
Well, that game's out today. So it was just like a big commercial for Surgeon Simulator 2, which is fine. Like, that first game was really popular. I don't know anyone that was like clamoring for a new one, but I'm sure there were fans.
You know what it reminds me of? If Five Nights at Freddy's were getting announced and they're coming out with a brand new sequel, this sort of reminds me of that kind of announcement where this game was really huge at a time and it was like the number one video to watch and your favorite Let's Players were playing these games. But to me, I don't know. It was just totally a commercial and Doc Brown killed it. Charming as ever.
We got the Dragon Age 4 kind of, hey, we don't have anything, so here's what we have.
Here's us outside.
Please do not remember Anthem. That's what that whole thing was. It was like, hey, we know we fucked up before. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about how the next thing we're working on is a thing you like.
It was the next
good type of rumble.
The next thing you're going to enjoy, and also we are all human beings working on this game. We are all people that, you know, you could know, and we're good people. Please be cool.
Please don't hate us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
be chill, chat.
I think you're the biggest Dragon Age guy out of all of us. Did that do anything positive for you?
It didn't do anything negative for me. I'm the same with Imran. As the trailer was going and it's concept art after concept art, you start to get the vibe of, oh, we're not going to really see shit here. It's just going to be like developer talking. But then we did see kind of here's what some abilities look in a half-built level. We're just kind of showing off our level design and enemy design and some combat mechanics. That's not really what I want to see, though. Like, I want to see an actual story trailer. You know, I don't even need to see gameplay. Just show me a sort of story trailer thing with in-game footage, you know?
Yeah. Next up, we got Bridge Constructor, The Walking Dead.
What the fuck was this?
Started off with a live-action trailer that was bizarre and unclear. And then it was like, oh, it's a zombie thing. And it's like, oh, it's Bridge Constructor, The Walking Dead. And it's just like so many just different things where it's like, huh, if The Walking Dead was like the big thing you're going for, maybe lead with that. Maybe have something that's a little bit more familiar than
maybe
Napoleon Dynamite.
That is Bridge Constructor. the way they led into it was just very weird. Like, I know Bridge Constructor Portal was a thing that came out a couple years ago, right? And that would be like if they led with Shell jumping through the different portals and you saw that and all of us were like, oh, snap. And then like they just transitioned to the Bridge Constructor. I got those vibes, not as egregious, but... Yeah, by the time we got to Bridge Constructor, it was like, okay.
Look, think it's a funny idea. I think it's a funnier idea if I just sort of come across it, laugh once, and then I'm like, all right, cool. And I kind of just like forget about it. But it's, I don't know. Bridge Constructor games they're also popular, and they're also things that people like. I don't know what the crossover is between people who really want to take over or bring the sidest of side characters from Walking Dead onto a bridge being chased by zombies.
You call him Michonne a side character?
Eugene?
Eugene is the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. Fair.
Oh, man. Then we got Sam and Max VR.
I was a huge Sam and Max fan when I was a kid. I got nothing, like no emotional response from this.
And I mean, so if you're not then, if you're a huge fan and you're not, like, I wonder who is. Like, I wonder who's out there that's like, VR is going to be the thing that makes Sam and Max relevant in 2020.
This feels like, hey, we have this IP. What do we do with it? It's like, I don't know. VR?
Yeah.
What's the sort of market that is brand new and exciting and untapped and everybody's going after? Let's go after VR. It's a total weird announcement. I just don't see the appeal at all. Even like you're saying, Imran, being a Sam and Max fan, like I just don't understand what the point of that was.
Yeah. Like, I think whatever the trickling of Telltale IPs that came out, and people don't want to make Telltale games. It's like, well, that's probably what Telltale failed, is they made games that there was no market for anymore, but they have these IPs, they want to do something with them. So this is what they came up with, and it just, I don't know, maybe it's amazing, but this doesn't look, it didn't really do anything for me.
Did World of Warcraft Shadowlands being a 15-minute presentation do anything for you?
It did not. My girlfriend was more excited than I am, and even then she was like, eh. So I that was way too long for a short. Like, it's not even like Blizzard's like really cool CG shorts that they do every year.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was gonna be. That's what I was excited for. I thought it was gonna be like a beautiful cinematic experience for, I don't know, maybe 3-4 minutes. That's all we need. But it was a long, drawn out animatic about lore that you're showing you're showing that hoping, like, granted, keep this in mind. A large chunk of the WoW fan player base has no idea what the story is in World of Warcraft. And like, I know that I've, like, because me and all my friends didn't give a shit about the story. It was just leveling with your friends or whatever. And I know for a fact that a large portion of the fan base doesn't know what the story is. And showing a long ass animatic to a gaming audience, not even like World of Warcraft. This isn't a BlizzCon thing. Show that at BlizzCon. Don't show that here, you know?
Yeah,
totally. Show that at BlizzCon. At a WoW panel. Like, yeah. You need to get real specific, because not only did they do that, they then followed it up with like even more like gameplay stuff. And it was like, all right, guys, like, we get it. Like, cool, it's coming October 27th. Was that new information? I'm not sure.
I couldn't tell you.
Red, was the date for WoW new?
I think that was new.
Okay, she can't hear me, so never mind. I
think that was new. Cool. At least that's the WoW. What you said, Les?
I liked how tall the angels were.
Very tall.
Yeah. Very tall angels.
I think it was you, Tim, who said like Activision probably paid for the screens. Mm-hmm. And like, the more I think about it, like, began with Call of Duty, then we went to like Crash, then this as well. Like, yeah.
I mean, Activision really digs Jeff Keighley.
Apparently.
Because he also got the Tony Hawk exclusive and the Crash exclusive when those were both being announced. Like, they really, like, no joke, it seems like they have a partnership that works.
I mean, it makes sense. Like, that's the thing, is like, he does have a stage to present things, and I think he does it very well at times. And I think that the Summer Game Fest stuff we saw of him do for Tony Hawk and Crash were 10 out of 10. They nailed those. But then with this, moving on to Crash 4, man, like I was saying earlier, it's just kind of like the why. We're missing the why. And I really felt like it was them being like, oh, we can do a funny bit for Gamescom. How much money must have that cost to get that done?
They had to, at minimum, have paid off whoever owns that center to, like, be able to get in and film.
Insane. Like, that's crazy. And, like, to ship that Crash costume can't be cheap. Paying an actor, paying a camera crew to go shoot all that. And, like, it's just so weird because it feels so meta. Like, the joke
shipping
of, like,
the Crash costume is probably the cheapest thing, though. Out of all those things you listed. But that probably cost, like, $50.
No way. That's a big-ass costume, man.
I just realized they probably put, like... They probably put some German guy in there, and that's why they had the face mask cover the thing.
Oh yeah,
so he could actually like not be a different person.
Yeah, they didn't ship an actor. They didn't like fly an actor to Germany. They just had a local dude who read a Craigslist listing and was like, "Sure, I'll get in this Bandicoot costume."
Yeah, it's disappointing because like that whole Crash bit was just like, again, it went on too long. Another little dev interview. That's like, what are you guys doing, man? Just show maybe a tight trailer and just move on.
Yeah. Some of those dev interviews definitely went on like minutes longer than they needed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we got some Outriders. And was that a trailer or was that just a commercial or was that actually something new?
There was gameplay.
Yeah, I feel like it was new story stuff that they're kind of revealing. Were we talking over it and not listening? Yes. So sorry, everybody. But Outriders is fucking awesome. It's a game I'm super excited about. It's insanely fun to play. It's a game that I went to an event for in January, and that, you know, crazy that I flew this year, and then came back, did a first impressions with Blessing, got an email saying, hey, do you want to play it again? We have new stuff to show off. And I basically kind of begged Blessing to play with me because I just had so much fun and I was really excited to play it again. I'm stoked for Outriders. I don't really know what that little trailer was about, but it's a cool ass game that I plan on playing the shit out of.
Yeah.
Then we got Teardown, which I would say was the standout smaller title of this entire showcase. Where, I never heard of it before. Andy, it seems like you have. But it's kind of like the voxel based. Anything can be destroyed. Very Minecraft looking, but very, very pretty. And what I loved it because to me, it was a perfect showing of a game where you don't know about this. You start watching it. You're like, oh, that looks kind of fun. That looks kind of cool. And then there's that twist of the gameplay hook where they're like, oh, it's a fucking heist. And you're setting up a heist before you're running through it. That looks cool as hell.
Yeah, really, really cool. And not just even setting it up. It's just the idea of finding creative ways to escape while you're in the midst of it. So it's not just let me plan this out and then I know exactly the path. You could accidentally shoot a fucking building and the building crumbles, but then the telephone pole gets knocked over and you're like, oh, I could use that to climb up onto that higher portion of this building. This is one of those games that every once in a while, Twitter will kind of go viral with a new indie game. And this was one of those titles that popped up and everybody was saying, whoa, you know, I can't wait to play this. You know, when is this coming out? Steam wishlist, all that jazz. The game looks super great. And I think this version had a lot better just shading and environments.
I noticed that. The lighting was great.
On Twitter, the lighting was, it looked like a basic Minecrafty game. And this one, there was like a lot of really good smoke effects and fire.
It looked like those videos you watch of like Minecraft with ray tracing turned on. Yeah. And it looks like a different game. It almost looks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Little Nightmares 2 come in February 11th. Not sure if we knew it was coming in February. I don't think that we knew the actual date. Now we do. It looks scary as shit. People really like the first game. And that, to me, that's how you show off one of these type of games. Just show a trailer, make it look interesting. Let's go.
This is a co-op game, I'm guessing. But there's two characters. I'm guessing it's like a two player. So that seems neat. Find someone you want to be scared with.
Yeah, this is, I think you're totally right, Tim. This is the way to show a game where it's, you have to make new audiences give a fuck about the game. And for a lot of people who are watching this and have never even heard of or seen Little Nightmares, this is obviously the sequel and it's scary as shit. And they showed kind of all the right little beats to make you go, oh man, that would be so much fun to play with my significant other or my best friend. Me and Blessing plan on playing, doing a full playthrough.
100%.
You know what else is scary, guys? Credit card debt. Ladies and gentlemen, you should know that this episode was brought to you by economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money at every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows that you are more than just your credit score. Now's the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply though. That just helps. One of my really good friends was going through some issues and really it was just that there was too many different things that he owed. So consolidating it in one place with Upstart has made his life so much better. It was fast and simple to check his rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull only happens if you accept the rate and proceed. You can free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. You can see why Upstart is a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot and hurry to upstart.com/kindoffunny to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kindoffunny. Your loan amount will be determined based on your credit, income, and other certain information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. Upstart.com/kindoffunny. And also, shout out to ExpressVPN. Andy, I got a question for you, all right?
Tell me, Tim.
You use the bathroom, you always close the door behind you in public, right?
All the time. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, because you don't want random passerbyers looking in on you, right?
Absolutely.
So why would you let people look in on you when you go online? Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. Did you know that every single website you visit is seen by your internet service provider? Whether it's Comcast or Verizon, they're watching you and all the creepy things that you do. What's worse is they can sell this information to ad companies and tech giants who will use your data to target you. ExpressVPN simply puts a stop to all this. I've been using it. It's great. I've been looking at whatever I want to look at. I'm not looking at anything weird, but if I was, no one would know. The best part is using ExpressVPN is as easy as closing the bathroom door. You just fire up the app, click one button, and you're protected. ExpressVPN is the number one rated VPN by CNET, Wired, and The Verge, among many others. If you're like me and believe your online activities, your business, secure yourself by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. You can use the link expressvpn.com/kindoffunny, and you can get an extra 3 months for free. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Back to it. Next up, we got Star Wars Squadrons.
That game looks hot as hell.
It does. I'm into it.
What was the new thing shown here? Because I didn't write that down.
I didn't write that down either, and so I do not know.
But I will say this was one of those.
I mean, they showed off some campaign stuff. They showed off what you would do.
We saw Wedge in there.
They would do some. They were showing single player stuff. They were showing how the world looks in VR when you're kind of in your base. I think all that stuff was new, I'm pretty sure, where you're looking around and you see your ship, you see the captain here, and you see all these other people walking around in the background. I think all that stuff was new, I'm pretty sure.
Either way, cool. I love that this game's coming so soon. Like, October 2nd. Like, wow. Mm-hmm. We are just a little bit over a month away from being able to play this thing.
Insanely exciting.
It here. Yeah. And regardless, like earlier I was saying, and I still stand by that, like I want the why of why these games are being shown, not just like, oh, because it had to be there. But I do think that exceptions can be made when it's literally like just a trailer length of things where it starts to feel more like an ad. And when that works for things like Little Nightmares 2. And I think it worked here where it's like, hey, this Star Wars game actually looks awesome, guys. Like,
yeah, because like it was officially revealed at EA Play in like June, right? And so like this is like the one Greg was on. And so this game hasn't necessarily had the launch rollout that we've seen other games have, where it is, oh yeah, multiple years, we're getting a bunch of trailers. Like, this is like the second trailer for this game, not counting like, because I know there was the pre EA Play trailer, and then there was the EA Play breakdown, and now we're getting this. But this doesn't feel like a, oh yeah, we're seeing this for the 10th time. Like, I'm down to see this game still.
It seems like the new thing here was the single player campaign, like actually showing that stuff off. So like a full story mode and cutscenes and stuff like that. And apparently Wedge is in it. So yeah, that all looks super cool. That's mainly what I'm getting that game for. I know there's a multiplayer thing for it. I just want to put on a VR headset and like, you know, touch a flight stick while Star Wars sounds are made in my head.
Yeah.
You just want to hear like the how do TIE fighters sound? It's like a spit, like the way they fire, like.
Oh, like the actual like, laser.
Real bad, Andy. I don't
are they not like? Aren't they the kyung kyung kyung?
No, it's like a. It sounds like a fart, kind of like. No, fuck.
Maybe. I'm usually your biggest impression fan. I don't know if sound effects are your thing.
I know what sound effect you're talking about. I don't know if those are TIE fighter ones, but I know what you're talking about.
It's never been a satisfying sound effect, I'll say that.
You should have a show called Second Impressions, which is just blessing and Andy making impression sounds.
Okay. Next up, we got, sticking with Star Wars, Sims 4 is getting a little Galaxy's Edge Batuu expansion situation. A lot of Star Wars stuff in Sims. I'm sure that's thrilling for the people that are still playing Sims. Cool stuff.
I don't know. It's a
pretty in-depth crossover. Good for them.
It's the kind of thing, like, if I go to my friend's house in The Sims, like, I want to see a normal dining table. I want to see a refrigerator. I'm not trying to see a cantina and stuff. Quit showing off with your expansion, you know?
That's kind of where I'm at, right? Like, when I hear about The Sims and read about The Sims, the thing that excites me is hearing when they have an expansion that's all about knitting. Right. Or like they have an expansion that's all about, hey, Island Paradise. Like, that's the stuff that excites me. If I go over to your house and Jar Jar Binks is sitting there, I'm like, yo, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck are you doing with Jar Jar Binks here? Go watch
Star Wars. I'm right with you.
Like, so they did like nothing with Star Wars for the first 5 years they had that license. And now like in the back half, they're like doing all sorts of shit. I want them to go further. I want like weird Star Wars stuff in Madden. I want the
you can play as a Star Wars team in FIFA.
Yeah, like the ball should be BB-8.
Oh, shit.
Oh, you're going too far.
No, like, he makes the sounds and he celebrates when you win.
And there's an ability where
it was episode 9 racer. Why the fuck
There's an ability where BB-8, where he's about to hit the goal, but then he shoots out those little like grappling hooks that prevent him from going past the goal. You know what I mean? We're game designers here, guys. We're thinking about this.
Episode 9 racer either. Is you need to hold up a dagger to figure out where the racing line is.
Next up, we got 12 Minutes, which the reveal there was the voice cast is James McAvoy, Daisy Ridley, and Willem Dafoe, which is OP as all fuck.
Hell of a cast. Holy shit.
Damn.
Huge.
Yeah, so cool. Love seeing Daisy Ridley still do stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like...
But also, James McAvoy is like one of my favorite actors. Like, he's the only reason why I enjoyed the new X-Men stuff. Or, I mean, I didn't enjoy him. But, you know, he was like the best thing about them, in my opinion.
Oh, X-Men. And then we got Godfall. What the fuck did we see there?
I don't know. I blinked and I missed it.
Yeah, same. Legit, I tabbed over, tabbed back, and I was like, is that Godfall? And then it was done.
Dude, it's super bizarre because like it was so fast, like too fast. They really didn't show anything except the moth costume, and like even that's debatable. Like, was that the focus of this? Or
I think that was the focus.
But what's weird is like something we need to keep in mind is this was a live show. This is one of the first shows of the entire summer that we saw that was actually live interviews, cutting between a whole bunch of different things. And I do think a couple of the more awkward moments that we got in this were because somebody may or may not have switched over too quickly. And I think this might have been one of those cases.
There was a couple of abrupt ones where just like nothing, it didn't fade out or anything, just went right back to Jeff Keighley. He was ready, so like I assume that was, you know, planned, but it's strange.
Mm-hmm. We never have tech issues, so it's fine. Yeah. Next up, we have Warframe, the Heart of Deimos.
Wait, no, hold on a second. All right, we have one person running the show, and a lot of times he's playing with his dog. All right, that's the whole issue. They have a whole team of people that are doing this. You got to imagine there's a dude on headphones being like 1, 2, pointing at him. You know what I mean? You guys couldn't see me point, but I did the countdown point.
Yeah. Oh, you did the 1, 2. And you did that little like
and
wave
you're live.
Thing.
Yeah,
I love that wave.
Warframe looked cool.
Yeah.
I wish I played that game more.
This is supposed to be the expansion. It's like if you're new to Warframe, this is like more single player style content. So maybe this will be the thing that actually like makes me play Warframe. Because like the idea of a multiplayer Devil May Cry style game with like cool sci-fi fantasy aesthetics sounds amazing. I just can't get myself invested somehow.
What if me and you, we got together. We did a kind of funny first impressions of the first hour of Warframe Heart of Deimos.
I'm for it. I'm way for it.
But you have Nick guess what it's about.
Oh, no.
That would be great. Yeah,
my problem with Warframe, kind of adding on to what you're saying, Imran, is I feel as if there's too many aesthetics.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of throws me off is that the vibe of it, I've never known what they were going for. And I know at first it started off as this sort of, you know, you're this sleek ninja suit, you're doing cool backflips and stuff, but then I just feel like everything's just thrown at the wall and they're like, yeah, fuck it, throw that in there too. Yeah, whatever that is, yeah, get that shit in there too. And it's too much. It's too much.
There's a Warframe spirit in Smash Brothers, and every time I pass by, I'm like, what the fuck is that? Oh, right, Warframe. I never know what Warframe actually is until that logo pops up and it says like, okay, this is Warframe. That looks cool. That weird skeleton in like pod armor looks awesome, but it has no like visual identity for me.
Then we got Override 2 Super Mech League, which is a sequel to a game that we did a party mode of a long time ago where you're just giant mechs beating the shit out of each other. Concept was cool, game was pretty fun, didn't run that well, but hopefully this one coming out on next gen is gonna help that. They announced
did you play
a special
this
no I don't think I've ever played it.
So Blessing and Imran, what one really cool thing that I enjoyed about it was they have a co-op mode where one of you are controlling the attacks and one of you are controlling the maneuvering. So they have sort of this co-op mode where
Pacific Rim type shit.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, you'd be like, all right, jump forward. I'm gonna attack. You know, so there's kind of that maddening, Overcooked style. I'm getting mad at you because you're not doing what I want you to do. Gameplay aspect to it. But yeah, I don't really know. I didn't even know that part one fully officially came out. But that's
yeah, I'm with the sequel. You. I'm with you. Then
Blessing's Frozen.
Is he?
Yeah.
Or is he playing a trick on us?
No, he's definitely.
Can you hear us, Bless?
He can't.
He looks so upset. I don't know why. It's so funny, but it is.
It's just like I buy it that he's just fucking with us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he has the mental fortitude to do that.
I would have thought he wasn't frozen until somebody in chat said, "I think Blessing's frozen."
All right. Looks like maybe his computer's off. Ring. Yeah.
Ring.
Ring doorbell.
All right. Looks like he's on his phone now. Let me remove Greg.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to make a funny game, Jeff, everyone. Thank you very much.
I think I have one. What's that look like? Nope, that's definitely not it.
Just so, go up.
But oh, while we can continue the show here a little bit.
So. Here we go.
Fucking hell, today man. Has been way too much fun. In a way, it really shouldn't be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Real unprofessional.
Kevin, where the fuck is my plant?
Jesus fucking Christ. If I had hold to on. Hear about your... I'm going to go to your house and burn the fucking plant down.
Burn it, Kevin. Burn that stupid ass plant.
Hold on. Here we go, guys. I just got a PR email. About the Godfall reveal. Three new Valor plates showcased. Officially Valor plates.
That's huge. What are Valor plates? That's huge towards endgame.
The three new Zodiac inspired Valor plates, Mesa, Typhoon, and Vertigo, explained what Valor plates are and how they affect gameplay. So,
none of that happened. None of that was part of that.
That was what they said happened, man. I don't know what to tell you. But Super Mech League 2. Also said that there is a special crossover to be expected in September that'll be announced. I wonder what that's going to be. You think it's going to be like fucking Optimus Prime?
Maybe Gundam?
I saw that. I was thinking like, what would be a cool crossover for that thing that's not like, you know, obviously it wouldn't be like a Nintendo or a console exclusive or whatever. Transformers sounds like a reasonable thing of like, okay, yeah, you'd have to deal with Hasbro, but it would be super cool.
Well, yeah. In Override 1, the... what's the main sort of protagonist in ARMS? Was it
Springman?
Springman, yeah. You know how Springman's kind of the logo and Tracer's kind of the logo for Overwatch or whatever. The main sort of protagonist all around Mario Smash Bros. This is the guy that you want to use if you kind of want to be a jack of all trades. His vibe looked very much like an Optimus Prime character. Like the blocky face with the blocky chest and all of it sort of looked like, oh, this is Optimus Prime / Gundam ripoff. I could totally see that happening. I could totally see a Transformers little cool tie-in.
If you asked me which one would I pick, I would say BT from Titanfall. I think BT from Titanfall in there would be super cool.
I would say.
That would be the original Megazord.
Oh, yeah, that would be neat, too.
Dragon Sword.
It would be pretty cool, just like our background right now.
Yeah. I'm working on rebuilding it. Sorry. Cool, it doesn't look like Blessing's coming back. Just a heads up. I don't know if you guys are seeing Discord, but he's gone for good. Yeah, his internet sounds like it's out. So,
hey, it's all good, man. We take it as it goes.
You know, yesterday we were having a lot of fun with this, the background that we played with, but then it left it broken for this particular setup, so I have to fix it.
Then we got Lenisgate, which was the time loop multiplayer game
Yeah. It's theoretically like that game that's already out on Steam that's I don't remember the name of, but you go in, you do your 25 seconds, and then your previous life still exists in the next round. So you could like shoot at somewhere you think the next person's going to be. It's a cool idea. I don't know how this one is different from the thing that already exists, but if it's a concept that a lot of multiplayer shooters are picking up now, that's interesting to me.
But yeah. I also didn't quite understand if this is a multiplayer or not, because I feel like the concept they were pitching was more of a like a roguelite, you know?
How you doing, Bless?
Hey, what's up?
Yeah, I'm with you, Andy. That's why I literally just wrote down like multiplayer question mark. Like, is it?
What game are you talking about?
I don't know.
Lumens.
Lenisgate.
Lemmings.
Luminous Productions.
It looks cool, but yeah, they didn't really do a good job of actually telling us what that game is.
Well, Is Lemniscate the name of it? Because I just typed Lemniscate and a picture of some dude playing tennis came up.
L-E-M-N-I-S space gate.
Not a great name.
Lemniscate.
Unless I'm looking at a different game.
I just think of Lemnis bread. Possible. Lemba spread.
All right, here we go. I got a Polygon article. Lemniscate is the live, die, repeat of strategy games. Actually, let me see how long this article is before I read this whole thing. Oh, wow, this is long. Actually, it's not that long. The time-bending first-person shooter, Lemniscate, took center stage on Thursday during the Gamescom online presentation hosted by Jeff Keighley. Developed by Rat Loop Games Canada and published by Frontier Developments, each multiplayer round takes place across only 25 seconds of real time, but thanks to its futuristic conceit, players can layer on additional moves to create a layered dynamic round of play. They go on to talk about, quote, you play in first person and a character A. Oh, I see. You play in first person and character A becomes what you did first, said game director James Anderson. He continues, after you're finished with your 25 seconds, that gameplay will loop over and over again until the end of the match. This sounds exactly like that other game.
Quantum League is the game we're thinking of.
Quantum League, thank you. Yes.
And yeah, it sounds exactly the same.
It sounds just like Quantum League.
Identical, yeah. But Quantum League is a third person, right?
Yes.
Quantum League is third.
It's first person. It has cartoon characters, but
yeah.
Interesting. Wow.
That's crazy. That's the same concept.
Yeah.
So then we saw Lego Star Wars Skywalker Saga coming next spring. I'm pretty stoked about this. Like, I think that it looks like kind of what I'd be looking for a Lego game. There was voice acting, and that's not usually a thing in these games, right?
There's some that they do. Like, they used to not do them at all. Then I think with the Lego Batman games, they started doing them.
Yeah, they definitely do them in the Marvel games. Spirit voices in those. So that would make sense.
What,
but the Star Wars games didn't have it, though, right?
Not that I recall.
Hmm.
You keep saying, like, Tim, this one's different. What's different about it?
So what's different about it is just the way that the gameplay is. It's a bit more Gears of War-style camera than what we're more traditionally to, where it almost... It's just almost more like a third person shooter than a platformer. And we saw a little bit of this in the gameplay here, both them running around, but also a lot of the vehicle based stuff where in the Lego games, there's vehicle based things where you're going around, but it always felt more like Mario on a Koopa shell as opposed to, you know, being in a Warthog in Halo. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I get you.
That makes sense.
But yeah, looking at the behind the scenes or behind closed doors demo they showed us last year at E3, I was like, oh my God, this is like a huge step up for these Lego games. Like, they showed it was Luke just walking around Tatooine, and like even the way like the sand of Tatooine looked, I was like, they're going for a different vibe with this. So we'll see if it all works. But I think that with all the delays and stuff, like they're trying to make this one different.
I will say, though, like, it just still doesn't look pretty to me. And it could just be that's how reflections pop off of plastic. And that's the aesthetic that they're going for. But a lot of it still looks as if there hasn't been a lighting pass done to it or like an ambient occlusion pass. It still looks pretty stripped down to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
They don't look enough like Clank. In that Ratchet and Clank trailer.
They're definitely taking their time, though, because if you saw it at E3 last year, I've never known a Lego game to like take longer than the reveal year to actually come out. And now they're saying spring for next year. They're like, it's a big undertaking. It's all 9 movies, which is what's most interesting to me. But they seem to actually want to take their time with it.
Yeah, we'll see. Next up, we got Struggling, which was horrifying. If you're a fan of the words meat and whole put together, this one
struggling
might be for you.
Struggling to watch it, you know what I mean?
Exactly. I don't know about that. Then we got Little Home, the Dark Pictures anthology coming October 30th.
Little Hope.
Little Hope.
Yeah.
The Dark Pictures. Yeah.
It's a small, tiny home.
I was thinking about that super hard, and I was like, Little Home.
Little Home.
Man of Medan didn't really do it for you guys, but did this one inspire any more hope?
So this one is going to depend
a little.
That was very good.
Hey,
I'll play it, but if they do the same fucking twist again, then I'm done with these games because it's the same twist every time.
Yeah, that's my thing. I think they have to. I think at this point they have to liven things up, because I think they know that there is such high expectation for them coming off of Until Dawn, and Man of Medan just wasn't the one. The fact, though, that these games are supposed to come out yearly with the for the Dark Pictures anthology, though, gives me some concern, because if that's the case, then I don't know if you can have that same level of quality that you had with Until Dawn.
They were supposed to be a lot faster originally. Like, I think pre-COVID, I did an interview with them. They said, like, they wanted 3 to 5 three to five a year? every two years.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, it was going to be, like, very, very fast. Like, every 6 months, it was going to be a game release. And I guess, based on Man of Medan and the bad reaction to that game, they probably went back to the drawing board to actually, like, work on this some more. So that, as bad as Man of Medan was, like, bad, disappointing, I should
say. Like, mediocre.
Yeah. I think that actually makes me more encouraged for a sequel, because I think they recognize what was wrong with it.
Well, especially with the release date. Like, it's pretty cool coming the day before Halloween. That's, like, a good time frame for this type of thing. Hopefully. Hopefully something special. Next up, we saw Chorus with a V. Corvs. Coming 2021.
Cool.
Looks neat.
Flying.
Yeah. That game looks neat. I just don't know. Like, it looks... It looks like any generic fight game to me, or generic, like, track-based fight game. There was anything, besides looking graphically impressive, there wasn't anything that really stood out to me about it.
I agree. I totally agree. And like I said, I feel like Rogue Squad, or just not Rogue Squadrons, but just Squadrons, I'm going to have my fill of, you know, I'm in a cockpit and I'm fighting shit.
Yeah. This looks more like a Star Fox.
I'm fighting shit.
But this looks like Star Fox without any of the character. And I don't Star Fox. I mean, like, the dialogue is what makes Star Fox so fun. And, like, the, you know, kind of frantic campiness of having the team together. Like, that's what makes it interesting. Like, I feel like that type of game, like Panzer Dragoon, is another good example of, like, how to do that game. But, like, that even has a character to it, even if they're not talking back and forth. Like, the world feels a bit more interesting than just you're in a colorful space.
Yeah, and that's, I think, part of this is maybe this is just the initial trailer, so who knows? Like, it can't judge the whole entire game on it. But the environments were just, okay, here's space around meteors, here's, like, a space station. It's like, okay, do we go onto, like, a cool-looking planet? Is there, like, a Star Wars equivalent of, like, that red cloud planet? With, that's the stuff I want to see, and that would make that game more interesting.
So I just out of curiosity, I went and looked up the developer of this, Fish Labs, and they have a really interesting history, because the last games they did were Saints Row 4 Re-Elected and Saints Row the Third for Nintendo Switch, and Manor Horror for Nintendo Switch. And then before that, all they did were iOS and Android games. And, like, none of them of which I've heard of, like Secret Files and Galaxy on Fire, Sacred Legends, like stuff I haven't heard of, I'm sure people have, and Dead Island Survivors for iOS and Android. So this is, like, for all intents and purposes, their first original game, which, you know, is pretty exciting. But yeah, at the same time, nothing from the trailers we've seen for it so far have leapt out of me.
Good luck to them, I guess.
Yeah.
Then we got Medal of Honor Above and Beyond VR, which they talked about for approximately 12 hours.
It was a long time, dude. This was, like, in a show that was already stretched out and too long, this just further supplanted that. You know, did we really need to do any of this? You know,
yeah.
the Q&A was just way too long. The way you just show it off is, hey, you're killing Nazis in VR. And it's Medal of Honor, and it's Vince Zampella just maybe just saying a couple of words here, but that whole dev Q&A at the end was just so long, man. This isn't the show for that, you know.
I mean, Vince Zampella, just come out. You just nailed it, Andy. Hey, it's Medal of Honor in VR. Check it out.
Yeah.
Trailer.
Yeah. You know us. We're Respawn. We fucking rule. Check out this thing we're working on as well.
Yeah. Respawn don't miss. But I also don't know that, like, this may be the first Respawn game I don't really play, because, like, honestly, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure it's going to be a great VR game. It's just not for me, I don't think.
I have VR, but apparently if I want to use my Quest, I have to link it to my PC.
You need a USB-C cable. That's it.
Yeah, but like I won't have enough space in my new place because my PC will be in my room, and my room's kind of smaller compared to this huge place I'm in right now.
Where were you planning on playing it anyway?
If the living room.
You have a laptop, don't you?
Oh, you know what? That's not a bad idea. But will my because it's working off my PC power though, right? Like, do I have a laptop that's strong enough to run a VR game?
This is why it should just be on Quest. Like, I know, exactly. I know why, from a very technical perspective, why everything can't be on Oculus Quest. But like,
They gotta promote that thing more because Quest is awesome. Like, I understand, like, you want to like have a big splash on VR, and you want to have like these big, technically impressive games on VR. Thus, you know, you want to skip around Quest because Quest is the less powerful option.
Right.
But Quest is still the coolest. Quest is still the coolest device you have. The fact that thing is wireless, the fact that you can take that thing anywhere, the fact that it just works, it's so good. And if they like pushed for it harder, I feel like they could sell that thing to a wider amount of people, because you don't have to have a PC, like best entry, that are the thing that keep VR from really making bigger waves and being accessible to more people. Like, Quest is the perfect device, and more games should be tailored for it. Yeah, from Oculus.
The problem, like, I own a Quest. I don't own another headset. It's cool that my headset can just like connect to my thing, but I also just don't want to connect to my thing because my computer is a sitting space, not a like standing around VR room space. Yeah. So, but on the other hand, I can see why like you don't want Quest holding back VR development, because then you don't get your Half-Life Alyxes, you don't get your Medal of Honors. So for sure. There's an argument for both sides of that, but as someone who wants to just use my Quest somewhere where I do have space, not drag the entire computer and all that stuff there, it Medal of Honor doesn't seem like a game I'm going to play, basically.
I want to try it just based off of my love for Blood and Truth. Like, there is so much potential for first-person shooters in VR, and of course Half-Life Alyx is probably the biggest example of it, but I haven't played it yet.
Plus the idea that you could just smash a dude's head with a statue.
That's pretty
like stuff. Yeah. Stuff like that really makes that experience so cool, which is why I want to try Medal of Honor. I don't know if I'm going to play through it because I'm not a Medal of Honor person historically, but stuff like that is super fun. And either way, I'm gonna find a way to try it out.
I mean, bless, is anybody Medal of Honor person?
I mean, that's a very good
point. We're closing out the show pretty soon, so we have Spellbreak, which
was a cool looks trailer. Cool,
but CG, I think you nailed it for me, Imran, where it's like I would want to play this if it was a different type of game.
Yeah, like the art looks cool, the movement looks cool, but it's like, I don't know, I've never been really into battle royales, and the ones I am into are just, you know, fairly non-competitive. So this one just, if they said Spellbreak like single player edition or Spellbreak of the Wild or whatever, I'd be way more into it.
The Wild. Yeah. I'm digging this, right? As somebody who generally can enjoy a battle royale, like, this gives me Darren Project combined with like Realm Royale vibes. And like, you know, that type of stuff I'm into. I don't know if this is necessarily going to be a breakout hit success, because I feel like we're at the point where if you're going to be in the battle royale space and be that, you got to really come out swinging, because, you know, Hyperscape just came out, and Hyperscape's doing fine as far as I understand, but you know, the last VR game to really come out and make a splash was Call of Duty, and the one before that was a Respawn game, and the one before that was Fortnite, and like, you really got to come out and be killer if you're gonna
Fall Guys is eating everybody's lunch right now.
Let's That's true. Honest. Actually, I forgot about Fall Guys. Fall Guys technically
like
is
Fall Guys is eating everybody. Fall Guys is kind of a huge reason why Hyperscape, I think, isn't as big as it can be and should be. But yeah, I mean, I think the game looks great. It is another one of those games that I have seen streamers play this for like maybe a year and a half already, maybe 2 years, because this is the type of game that always has sort of an open beta and then a closed beta and an open alpha and all that shit. It's a game that I saw Shroud stream like 2 years ago when he was before he left Twitch for Mixer. So I don't know if this, you know, the I don't know if it's coming to console ever. I think it feels like a game that should be more readily available for people to that aren't just PC players, you know.
Then we got a really, really, really weird Turrican trailer.
I don't know if that's a new Turrican. A Turrican
it is remaster. Console, by the way. Sorry, Spellbreak is console. I just had to say that.
So yeah, like, Turrican is a very popular game in, or well-loved game in Europe, or one of the most well-loved games that comes from Germany. Like, the unreleased Turrican sequel was part of, like, preloaded on the Analog NT, the Super Analog, or Super NT. Like, these are well-liked games, but I don't know what that trailer was.
That's a big problem. What game.
Yeah, like, yeah. Was that a game announcement or not? And if so, what was the game?
Weird.
I don't know what this was. Yeah, I feel like this is the type of thing you do for, like, let's say Mega Man 11 never came out. That's the one that recently came out, right?
Yes.
Let's say Mega Man 11 never came out, and this is the type of reveal you do for that, where it's like, here's an old franchise that we haven't really touched in a while and hasn't been seen in a while, but it's coming back. And, you know, the composer's talking about Turrican, and it seems kind of cool. And then it ended. And I was like, okay, well, very bizarre, very weird.
Yeah. There was no, like, title splash. There was no coming soon. There was no reboot.
There was no
sequel. Yeah. Then they showed Destiny 2 Beyond Light. Fran stoked.
Cool. Yeah.
Which, to me, this is another kind of like sign of where this show is, where we're getting the Destiny 2 Beyond Light breakdown towards the end of the second show. To last thing in this show. Yeah. It's like, that feels like a very nice first third of the show type of thing to go through, right? Give the updates on this very popular game people actually care about, but then move on to some other stuff. Don't like kind of end the show with it, you know?
Oh, did really we totally weird. Skip Fall Guys?
Totally did. Yeah, totally I didn't even write that down. Fall Guys. Let's go back to that, because
season you guys two. Have
anything to say about Destiny?
Nah, not really.
Nah.
Cool. Season two of Fall Guys. I like the gameplay mechanic stuff they're changing up, of looking like the levels you can move some things. Like, that seems like the perfect amount of annoying fun. Not huge on the medieval kind of theme of it. Am stoked that seasons are gonna have themes. That means other seasons might have themes that do speak to me a bit more. And like, we already know that the seasons aren't lasting that long, so fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited for exactly what you're saying, Tim, the prospect of every season having a theme. I think that's perfect. I think it's what the game needs. And I'm stoked for a sci-fi theme where you're out in outer space and the cameras are floating and there's meteorites and cool sort of nebula around you. Imagine if they
changed gravity. Andy,
yeah, dude.
Oh
yeah.
My God.
All guys,
it's exciting, dude. I think
float guys.
That game is already like broken and unfair in a way that they acknowledge and realize, and everyone in the audience acknowledges and realizes. I hope they have fun with that fact that they like don't need to be competitive or fair or anything. Just like maybe one season just deletes one of the teams and like that's it, or like they do break the gravity, or every floor is bouncy, or stuff like that. That's the stupid stuff I want for that game in the future.
Yeah,
look great though. Super cool. Great way to show that game, too. And then, yeah, the show ended. The final game was Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, which was kind of the linchpin of this whole thing that they were hyping up. The entire show, they were talking about it, and it looked as great as we expected. But,
yeah,
the news there was we have a launch window release coming, which almost feels like non-news.
I feel like they could have framed it better, right? Like I think the fact that it's launch window is exciting, because they up till now would not necessarily known a date. I think the assumption was 2021, but that's mainly because they didn't come out and give anything concrete toward the reveal. But I feel like most people watching don't necessarily have a shared understanding of what launch window is, because if you ask me, I'd say, oh yeah, 6 months, and so you can probably expect it by March. But if you ask somebody else, they're probably like the end of the year, and so by December. And it's like, what does launch window mean? I feel like we could have got more of that, because as of now, I still don't feel concrete in terms of when I can expect that game.
I assume they don't know either. I assume that's part of the problem too, is like they probably, maybe they were targeting launch and now they're not because of COVID, or what, maybe because like Spider-Man is going to do enough of the work, like marketing reasons. They don't need two Insomniac games in the first month. Yeah. Those could all be like logical reasons, but I assume that Sony and Insomniac are also like, launch window is the best we can commit to until we can give an actual like certain date.
It just seems weird to even do it then. Like, I don't know. This just seems like such a non-committal thing where it's like, just say 2021.
Yeah. Who maybe it doesn't make 2020.
Do you guys think there's any chance this comes out in 2020?
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance.
That's
I think the story of the PS5 needs to have something in December too.
Spider-Man. Really?
I think Spider-Man's launch. I would guess Spider-Man.
No, me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that it needs something in December. That I don't know that it's going to get something in December. That's
but like
crazy.
I think what you get in December though are like your Chet the Far Shores or your Bucksnacks or your Solar Ashes or whatever the other stuff that we got at the PlayStation presentation. Like I could see those things. So many of those things take the little devil inside. Totally. I could see those things taking up the first 2 months.
If it were me, and this is entirely speculation, I would do Spider-Man at launch, Demon's Souls in December, yep. Ratchet in January.
So I mean, that I would be.
That'd be incredible. But at the same time, I'm like, do y'all need that much heat? Like right out the gate? Because you can
spread this shit out a bit.
As of now, right? Like when you tell me that Ratchet is gonna be a launch window, if I was PlayStation, I would be like, all right, cool. Spider-Man launch, Ratchet January, February ish, Demon's Souls spring. Because like you have enough wealth to kind of spread out that If they do that triple threat in the first 3 months, then what does the middle of next year look like? Do we just have anything until Horizon?
Horizon is first half next year, right?
Did they say first half? They said next year for sure.
Sony has to do is do a winter, spring, summer, fall games fest, and just have it all spread out. You know, we don't need to have just. I agree with Bless. I don't think you need to do that much in such a tight window. I think you can easily spread this out in the way that we hoped Nintendo was going to be spreading their game releases out. And obviously it's been pretty desolate for a while.
Well, that is what they did the first year is 2017. They went nuts and they released one big game a month. No. I could see Sony just doing the same thing.
I'm with you, Imran. I think Demon's Souls is December. And especially Sony,
crazy.
Sony Japan working on that, right?
Japan Studios? Yeah, Bluepoint working on it, but like Japan in conjunction with Japan Studio.
I think December for that, but I think Ratchet's March.
Goals. And a kind of a non sequitur to an earlier story. Arvel Krenid tweeted all of us, and Gamatsu tweeted out that the Turrican Anthology Volume 1 and 2 was announced for PS4 and Switch. So it's a remaster of 1 and 2. Yeah.
Somebody out there is very excited.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Somebody is like, oh, let's fucking go, like doing the whole thing.
And the last thing I want to talk about before we end the show here is something that I think is of some consequence here is that Jeff committed to December for Game Awards. He, you know, is saying that it's going to be back. It's going to be this year. I was really ready to put money on him moving it to January, not only to be able to push back the date of the awards actually covering the entire year, because especially with this year, I mean, Cyberpunk's not going to be eligible to win Game of the Year. That's kind of bizarre. But on top of that, just having had so many announcements and so many events happen this year that I think that pushing into next year wouldn't be the end of the world with launches.
They pushed the eligibility like 1 week or so we can fit in the Cyberpunk and all that jazz. Because last year people were really confused because Jedi Fallen Order.
Star Wars.
I always think it's Force Awakens or Force Unleashed. It is a Jedi Fallen Order. That game was not part of the Game of the Year category last year because it wasn't eligible. So I imagine like this year, just go like, okay, fine, it's COVID. Let's wait an extra week. Does not take as long to get the stuff in.
Yeah, but Cyberpunk.
Cyberpunk is 17th, right?
Yeah, but I mean, November 17th, right? Like, how are the people going to play that game for it to be eligible for what, December 5th event?
I mean, Rivers.
I assume everyone's CD Projekt Red will probably get that into people's hands early. Hopefully. But who knows? Yeah. It could just be a huge fucking mess because there's no games this year. But we'll see how it goes. I imagine a Game Awards next year is going to be, or this year, is going to look exactly like Gamescom opening night. I think this is a test run for the Game Awards.
Mm.
In terms of like...
With the awards. We didn't even talk about the awards.
I don't think anyone did, honestly.
Yeah.
We don't need to. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Games cast. Thank you very much for joining us for this. Love you guys. We will see you later if you're watching live.